Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Aura Talks. We are currently at episode 11, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Pasha Kapoor, who has been part of the Oracle community for almost 5 decades. According to an article on Oracle Today, Pasha came to live in Oracle with his family in early 1974. Since then, he has contributed a great deal, but his Oracle journey has not always been smooth. I'm grateful to have such a well-respected member of the community with me today to learn from his personal journey, all the ups and downs, the triumphs and the downfalls that he has firsthand experienced since living in Oracle. Thank you, Pasha, so much for taking the time to sit down with me today. I very much appreciate it. In 2017, Pasha, along with a handful of other Oracleans, founded the Exploring Prosperity team. I'd like to read a short excerpt regarding this group that can be found on Oracle's main website. Concerned with the present reality that is drifting away from the concept of prosperity as envisioned by the mother for Oracle, whereby not only groups like Working Committee, Financial Assets Management Committee, Oracle Council stand for this vision, but also the Oracle residents are engaged in different spheres of activities to make tangible the city of 50,000 residents. The first step for a new and fair society is the prosperity aspect based on sharing, no exchange of money between Oraclians, provision for all basic needs like food, house, education. The purpose of such society is to give everybody the dignity for a better life. So today's conversation will center on Oroville's economy and more specifically how it has evolved over time. But how did you become involved with the community, or what drove you to commit to Oroville?
'68 was the year that I got opportunity to meet the mother for the first time. Unfortunately, I missed the inauguration of Oroville.
Yes.
Because it was sometime in April that I met her. But the topic of Oroville was going round like a hotcake all over the place. And I happened to see the brochure that mother had approved of the city. Something in each one is looking for something without even knowing that you're looking for it. The moment I saw the plan of the city, the concept of the city, I fell in love with it.
It almost sounds like it was meant to be, Pasha.
And immediately I offered to volunteer in any way I could be of help to Oroville, because at that time I was posted in Calcutta. I was a senior executive of an engineering company. And the first job that was given to me was to raise funds, and second was that I took up the responsibility also for raising funds for Bharat Nivas, because that was the one which was starting up straight away. So it became so intense that I was virtually coming every month to spend a week in Pondicherry, and that is how I met Roger Anjay, the chief architect. And I became part of his team as well. So I started understanding the lie of the land as far as the planning is concerned, and his conversations with mother and so on and so forth. And finally, the mother's permission came to me to come physically was in late 72. Because during 1972, I was involved in an activity to celebrate Shri Aurobindo's birthday all over the country, especially the eastern zone, all the hill areas, Nepal, Bhutan, Assam, and so on and so forth. And this was the price that I asked for the mother to allow me to come to Oroville. So I shifted with my family unfortunately, after mother passed away in late 73. Aspiration was the place where then we lived at that time. So that is my background. Now, coming to essentially the aspect of prosperity. The concept of prosperity as practiced in the ashram was also applied in the earlier years as far as Oroville is concerned.
Yes.
In fact, if I digress a bit and talk about my personal context, I was keen to find a place for my two sons in the ashram school. That is what brought me in contact with the mother. And when finally she accepted the point, she said they belong to Auroville and not to ashram. So my two sons, who was one was 11-year-old, the other was 9-year-old, came to Aspiration School in 1971.
Yes.
So 73, late December 73, we moved in also with my wife and a little girl that we had, that was a third child. And that was the time that I became a proper Aurobindian from then onward. Now, during that period, the prosperity that was practiced, I want to share with you, is that you basically prepared a list of what you need. You submitted it to the person concerned, appointed by the society. And the first of the month, you went and took that given to you at the feet of the mother. I mean, there was a picture with the mother's feet, and you accepted it as a grace from her, and you used it for the month. There was no question of fees for the children. There was no question of money for the food. There was no question of house rent or things like that. It was all provided for. All you did was the work that was given to you.
Yes.
Now, when mother talks about cashless society, when mother talks about an economic way of life where the basic needs should be met, the basic principle has been established in the ashram.
Yes.
The only difference that I discovered is that in the ashram, there is a very strict discipline because you choose to do a sadhana in a particular way. And therefore, you are not allowed to have a family. I mean, you are an individual.
Yes.
In Auroville, there was a more liberal attitude because intention was to create an urban habitat of 50,000 people. Now, so that is a variable, and 50,000 people coming from all over the world with different backgrounds, with different kind of baggages, cultural, social, religious, and so on and so forth. Certain allowances had to be made, but the basic principle was that contained in the charter of Auroville.
Yes.
Because the first part of the Auroville is, Auroville belongs to nobody in particular, but to the humanity as a whole. Fine. Everything is fine. Till then, I'm very happy. But then the next line is, but to live in Auroville, one must be a willing servitor of the divine consciousness. That basically set the principle as to what your life is going to be. It is a life going to be working towards growing into consciousness in a spiritual value base. And to create that possibility, you are going to be given a possibility of having a comfortable urban habitat. Families are allowed because the whole idea was that the children of today will be the Aurovillians of the future.
That sounds now, really beautiful, Pashi.
But over the period, because of historical background, because of differences with the first project holder and the Aurovillians as such in general, I mean, things started having a very vital and a very mental situation, which I would say is on a low vital and low mental background. And a fight ensued, a quarrel ensued. Eventually, the government of India had to step in. There was a buffer period in between while the government was trying to find various possibilities and so on and so forth. And eventually what happened was that to administer Auroville, according to the charter of Auroville, a foundation was created by an act of parliament, which according to me is a unique historical event in the entire political history of the world.
Yeah.
Unanimously, 484 members of parliament with single voice created Auroville Foundation as a mentor, as a guide, as a leader. With that came a certain constitutional approach of a resident assembly, mm-hmm. of a working committee, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
In other words, in the sense of the goodwill and knowing that people are coming with an aspiration, lot of things were allowed for the people to take over as a responsible members of the community. And initially, even before the foundation came into play, one of the most important aspects that had to be done and was done beautifully was to create an ambience where a city could be built. The green, the recovery of the land. This was one of the best accomplishments that the, what you call the forerunners of Auroville did. Okay. But we got so carried away with this that eventually, as more and more people started coming in, and the word spread all over the world because of UNESCO support and five resolutions, that different people with different aspirations looking for something which was totally different from what they were familiar with, they started coming with their own ideas and their own interpretations of Auroville. And in this context, we lost the focus on the basic objective, that is building a city.
So
instead, we became a community.
So I'm very curious to know when this shift, this fundamental deviance from basic happened. Was because from what you're telling me, it seems like quite early on there was already this, so to speak, deviance, right? So
you see, when I mean, there's another aspect that I want to share with you is that originally the mother intended the Auroville to be located at another site, which was closer to the ashram lands and so on and so forth. So when she appointed Roger as an architect and the chief architect of Auroville, when he came to look at the site, he said, "Mother, you're looking for building an ideal city where there's a national highway cutting right through it."
Mm.
That is when the idea came. She says, look for another site. That is how the new site came into play. I mean, not many people know about it. So the lands were being purchased. People were being encouraged to purchase land in that area, which was intended to be the first location of Auroville. That is how we acquired the lands which are not within the master plan area, but are 1,120 acres.
Mm.
So when the shift took place, Roger has two aspects in that very important, and Mother approved them. One is that there should be the least possible relocation of the local people.
Yeah.
And secondly, that there should be no private roads and things like that, so that it is isolated. And during the first concept being developed, also the idea of creating a green buffer zone came into play, which became a green belt. So, but the emphasis were all along by the mother was on the city, city that the earth needs. We, because environmental aspects, especially in Europe and America, had become very prominent in the 70s and 80s and so on, and they're still today, that became more of a focus of most of the people rather than a city.
Mm.
Gradually, more and more emphasis was on these aspects.
Yes.
Rather than building the city. So today the situation is that city is a secondary concern.
Mm.
Bigger concern is retaining our own environmental situations that we have created and fighting for it. I mean, I believe that the whole idea has been shifted from a city which could be self-sufficient also in ecology, and an example of how an ecological base can be with an urban background.
Mm-hmm.
We have gone to the 19th century concept of ecology. That is my personal concept. It will be debated, I'm sure. Now, coming back to the city aspect of itself, first was the concept, which was fully approved by the mother, following 3-4 different concepts that Roger produced. Finally, it came to what is known as the galaxy concept.
Yes.
Which was then converted into an Indian context of language according to the Indian Institute of Town Planners in the year 1999-2000. And in 2001, that was approved by the Resident Assembly, by the Governing Board, and by also the ministry that was handling the Auroville Foundation, that is the Human Resource Development Ministry. So business was to be the master plan, but unfortunately, till today, we are debating that master plan, for one thing.
Indeed.
And because we are debating it, we are not sure. We have allowed private entrepreneurs to take advantage of our this debate, and they are holding a lot of land, even in the city area. The city conceived by the mother was to be exclusive in that sense, that there should be no private properties and there no individual. There should be only these volunteers who have offered themselves as willing servitors.
Yes.
Today's situation is that as of today, we still don't have almost 120 acres of the city land. And also another 72 acres of what is called Paramukh land. Mm-hmm. The Paramukh land is basically a grassland traditionally used for the cow herds and all that. And it comes under the control of the government through the panchayats, which is a no man's land and all that. Now, unless we have that land, and lately what has been happening, unfortunately, every day, one or the other individual entrepreneur is developing those lands. And we are in a very difficult position, because if we want to buy anything, we have to pay the price that they ask for. So this is one aspect which has created a financial difficulty. On the other hand, we've been in a negative economy for a long time. And this negative economy, according to me, has led us to a situation where we've been telling everybody, take care of yourself as you can. So therefore, the objective, the four objectives that you just mentioned at the beginning of the conversation,
yes,
have become very difficult to follow, because survival of each individual has become very, very imperative for them to continue here. And many of them are facing such difficulties that they have hardly any time anymore to devote to Auroville at all, because yes, their survival has become it. So therefore, economy of Auroville, according to my thinking, has to take the precedence over everything else.
Yes.
And unless we convert into a positive economy, we cannot depend on doles. We cannot depend on contribution from other people to take care of ourselves.
Yes.
The whole idea that mother had was that we will create our own economy, at least for our own living, according to the three basic ideas: minimum needs, no money exchange, and a collective work effort. Whilst building the city could be supported by people from outside who believe in it.
Yes.
So there could be this kind of a thing. But to build a city of 50,000 people, and also in a time span, I recall that mother said she wanted to build it in 5 years. And Roger said, mother, 5 years is impossible. She said, all right, take 10.
Mm-hmm.
We are now in the 53rd year.
Everything in good time, Pashi.
So in 2018, as the 50th anniversary was approaching, some of us got together and said, time has come that we have to sit back and look at what has happened over the last 50 years and how can we realign ourselves to the vision of the mother. And that was the beginning of this team that came into play.
Yeah.
Prosperity team. And number of people were very keen to support it. In fact, our first flush of joy was when almost 300 people supported us by definitely saying, we're with you. And we're still sharing all the information with them. Mm-hmm. And we formed small groups, look at different aspects of it. And we came up with positive solutions, because also at that time, FAMC had been persuaded by the governing board to look at these aspects. So FAMC asked for proposals in positive direction, how to realign. We were, as a group, one of the teams which made a presentation on all the four aspects. Some of them on one aspect, some of another, and also during deliberations, talking to the various people who've had experience, senior people, young people, students, and so on and so forth, we also discovered that what has come into existence is a kind of a feeling that we are already a living society.
Yeah.
And all the emphasis is on that rather than building the project, because we are developing a project of a city of 50,000 people. So most of the operational aspects started concentrating more and more on our day-to-day affairs. FAMC, Working Committee, Arvind Council, everybody got concerned with the day-to-day lifestyles rather than concentrating on our effort. And then also what happened is, because of the negative economy, lot of individuals who came with the desperation, young people don't have the kind of money that they can support during the period of newcomers period.
Yes.
And it started attracting seniors who wanted to come and retire into a beautiful place. But the fact is, the young people who needed the support suddenly found that they could not get the support, they had to fend for themselves.
Yes.
And if they had to fend for themselves, they brought with them skills, capabilities, which instead of being used for building Auroville, started getting used into their personal survival.
Yes.
So this is why we felt that we need to come up with the answers where we can reconnect with the vision of the mother and create a situation where we can do a SWOT analysis of what went wrong in the last 50 years and how stage by stage, step by step, immediate, medium term, long term, we can realign with the mother's vision. And this proposal was submitted to FAMC, also shared with a lot of people. We are continuously working on it. And we also came up with an idea that particularly we have two basic assets. Manpower and land outside the master plan. Almost 2,000 people, a little more, because 700, 800 are children out of the 3,000, give allowance to people like me who are now in 80s and 90s and so on and so forth, who want to sit back and give their pieces of wisdom. All the others are fit people. Just bringing this COVID-19 into play.
Yes.
Before that, we employed almost 7,000 people to provide certain services, some essential, some non-essential. But funny part is that because of the coronavirus, what we have learned is by doing these things ourselves, our economy has improved.
Yes.
You see, because 7,000 people outgo when you are not able to even sustain your own family is a heavy burden you carry. We are not a charity. We are actually neighbors to the local people.
Yes.
And in neighborhood, we have our dharmas, our responsibilities to give and take.
Yes.
We have to show them that with our better skills and better knowledge, how they can improve their lives and not to become employers. And Mother was very clear that you can employ temporarily the skills you don't have. But eventually, any city anywhere in the world has to have its own citizens doing everything that is possible. And we are, in fact, more than a city, we are an international family. So therefore, my stress and my team's stress has been on looking at these two possibilities and how these two assets can be effectively utilized to convert the present negative economy into a positive economy. In the year 2012, on behest of the FAMC at that time, we had created a small group which looked at the possibility of how these lands can be effectively utilized. And a report was prepared where each and every square meter of the land owned by Aroville outside the master plan was SWOT analyzed.
Yes.
And we came up with an idea that if we can go into a joint ventures with people, this 1120 acres can be really the one which can even provide us the resources for building the city. Because at that time, these lands, 1100 odd lands, were assessed as per the market value at 800 crores of rupees. Today, after 8 years, there must be 1100 crores of rupees today. And we went into details with professional groups to find out what are the best possibilities and so on and so forth. And that report is still gathering dust with the FAMC. It needs to be revived. We've been sharing an executive summary with many people. Now, another interesting thing I want to share with you is that coming up with these proposals, which I mean, anybody can exercise because it is on the Aronet and so on and so forth.
Yes.
We came to the conclusion that to really make it effective possibility, because what has happened is that some of the willy-nilly, the whole structure of governance has become bureaucratic. Bureaucratic to the extent that it is said that Indian bureaucracy is the worst bureaucracy in the world. Ours is even worse than Indian bureaucracy at the moment. So, decentralization, according to our team, is the worst, one of the most important factors, because when the Foundation Act was being prepared, there was a kind of a feeling or a thought or a conception that since people are coming with aspiration and knowing that the charter requires them to be disciplined soldiers, it was left without any structure.
Yeah.
Without that structure, what has happened is that human beings being human beings, there has been different types of manipulations and utilization, and 2,000 people cannot speak at one voice at one place because it's very difficult.
Yeah.
So we came up with an idea that the resident assembly itself should be restructured with a sense of responsibility. And I want to share a little more detail with you if you will permit me. Because I feel it's one of the most important things that we should consider. Because generally speaking, there are four functions of any collectivity, five functions that any collectivity has to do. And what are those five functions? You have an asset, you have to take care of it, and you have to maintain it. So whether it is the forest, whether it is the farm, whether it's a house, whether it's a cluster of buildings and all that, it's an asset, has to be taken care of as maintenance. Then you have human resources connected with that activity, and they have to be deployed in the activity in a manner that it is a productive activity. Third is that you have to also plan and develop the responsibility of the area that you have. Fourth is, you have to also do financial management and budgeting and planning. And fifth is, you have to share this information with other people. So we felt that in each of these areas, if we take the city, for instance, city has four zones and the center, which is Bhakti Bandish.
Yes.
Now, each one of these zones can have five functionaries with these specific areas. and the people who are connected with that kind of an activity, who will become much more informed in that particular area. And then when they come together, similarly, as far as the farms are concerned, as far as the forest is concerned, because as far as farms and forests is concerned, we believe, as a prosperity, exploring prosperity team, that we should be talking in, not in terms of farms and in terms of the forest, we should talk in terms of agroforestry, which at the moment is really missing in our world. Agroforestry is an economic strength. Agriculture on its own is a drain on economy because anywhere in the world, it is not effectively able to sustain itself and it is supported. And forestry also supports it. So agroforestry can be an economic strength.
Yes.
And also then we have services that are offered within the city. And there's another service which generates revenue. So all these groups, if we decentralize and give these people the possibility, and then those five people from each area can come together with that knowledge and background and intimate experience and sharing of information, accepting the master plan, working towards that master plan in a cohesive manner with that knowledge base, rather than coming into a general meeting, saying your piece and going back to sleep because you've done your job. So according to me, and to according to our group, first thing that has to be done is to reorganize the resident assembly in a decentralized manner like this. And what comes out of it will create the governance. Because working committee is a legal requirement. So the people who have this experience from each one of these regions that we have identified, or zones we have identified, were the ideal people to be the working committee to advise the governing board and also to advise the residents.
Yeah.
So we have worked in detail on this, which we feel requires a deep thought, a task force basically, looking at the various aspects, refine this proposal, and then present it to the resident assembly for acceptance so that it becomes a basis of a new governance. Because the present system is not suitable for developing a project. It has failed and failed in many aspects, and there is no point in just hammering the point home because it's simply not suitable. Another aspect that is important and we have considered is that in governance, perhaps if it is a project development, there should be responsibilities not on election basis of people, but it should be created into departments that have responsibilities. And people who are competent, they should be managing it. And there could be a review committee. But you don't go into this voting aspect of selection because that is a system which does not fit with an aspiring society with spiritual aspirations. It becomes manipulative. And it doesn't make any sense because spiritual life that we intend to develop in Aroville is hierarchical. It's not democratic. Sovereignty is one aspect, but sovereignty in terms of democracy is not the spiritual way of life. Just one thing I want to share with you as a last thing.
Sure, of course.
It's very interesting. You see, this one was the first concept of Aroville prepared in 1967.
Yes.
Then modified to put the Matri Mandir in later on. But very interesting constituent of this was that the population of 50,000 for the projected city was identified in functions. And I want to share that with you. 17,000 age group 0 to 19 years. 7,000 adults as their mentors, teachers, cultural activities, 24,000. 2,000 people in the Green Belt for agroforestry and those services, 26. That left 24. 8,400, very precise figure, 8,400 in revenue generation activities, mm-hmm. and the balance in services. So Roger asked Mother, you're talking of 50,000 people, but how is it possible to maintain 50? She says, Roger, don't you worry. 2,000 will die, 2,000 will be born. The balance will be maintained.
Wow. I've never heard this number before, these numbers.
But the interesting part is that the division of labor was already there. And lately, I've been analyzing between the adults and the children. And I find the ratio is correct, even today. Wow. So something is already happening. The only thing is we have not opened our, if I say the third eye, to see what is behind all this is happening. And I think in that context, I conclude with saying COVID-19 is a blessing in disguise. We have to take the whole advantage of it. Thank you very much for giving me the time to express myself.
Thank you so much, Pashi. I agree with everything that you expressed. There's so much that you shared that I can't exactly comment and address everything. But let's just start off with the level of consciousness that is required to manifest the ideal economy that the mother envisioned for Oroville. Actually, I'd like to ask you a few questions now because you shared a lot and I have some curious thoughts that I'd like to share. So one thing that I hear all the time, like a common term that's associated with Oroville's ideal economy or what the mother envisioned, is moneyless. As also the Exploring Prosperity team would agree, moneyless in the sense that there wouldn't be transactions between Oroville. But do you think that this would be possible to the extent, because my worry is Oroville does have a significant amount of transactions with the outside communities, right? And this does require, in the case of India, Indian rupees. So I feel that sometimes this idea or notion of moneyless gets completely misconstrued to money is bad and we can't have money in Oroville. So I wanted to ask you if you could like refine this term or this vision for the people listening, because the way I understood it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that we want to create a community where there is not money transactions between the community members, but Oroville needs to generate a certain amount of income so that it can also afford to, let's say, acquire certain things from outside, because it can't always, for example, internet, as much as Oroville, even with the 50,000 residents that we reach with the ratios that you discussed, would it be possible to have our own internet network? It's, so to speak, we're technologically quite behind in infrastructurally. So there needs to be certain transactions or a way to pay for these services and certain goods. So what do you think the mother meant by moneyless?
I'll explain it to you. Ashram has 2,000 members. Mm-hmm. Each one is provided with an accommodation. Each one is given clothing, toilets and all the needs and the food. They don't have to pay. That is cashless society.
Yes.
Now where does the money come from?
Money comes
from the farms that have been created. The food comes from the farms that have been created. Industrial activities that have been created. So there is already a pattern available, because you cannot, if you have to have these things in a limited fashion of, let's say, a city of 50,000 people, basically you are dependent on a certain value base, which is part of the general society. That is money, yeah. Currency. So yeah. That currency has to be generated. And how do you generate it? If I have a farming capacity which meets the requirement of my 50,000 people and I generate surplus, I can sell that surplus. Or if I cannot farm it myself, and I can, because climatic conditions also do not allow you to do that, so I can exchange.
Yeah.
Similarly, I do industrial activities. That is why in Oroville, the industrial zone. But what we did, we went on to crafts. Crafts which fashionable people can pay. We could make decent profit out of it. But what happens in these kind of crafts, they are not necessities of life.
Yes.
And soon enough, other people can catch up with you. So we had a booming market in Europe and America at one time for our these kind of products. But then other people with smart ideas, they learned from us also, they came up in competition. What mother wanted was to create industrial activities that are based to meet our needs and also generate surplus. And there were two aspects to the industrial zone. One was the research aspect of it. Second was the production. And if you wanted to do a larger production, you could also do it outside the master plan area. Why the government of India gave us 100% tax exemption on our revenue generation is because of that.
Well,
no. Cashless society is internally, you do not have to pay for anything. You see, the saying goes, the basic principle behind is, when you offer yourself to the divine has to take care of you. That is the principle behind the cashless society.
I love the way you put it. I agree that when you give yourself to the divine will take care of you. But for that process, fundamentally, Pashi, I believe there are two things that are required, trust and surrender. So trust that that will happen, and surrender, not live in fear of scarcity, because obviously, globally speaking, we're seeing so many people living in fear. Am I going to have enough money to feed myself, my family, my children, send them off to a good school? So we're constantly living in this rat race society where we're in fear of not having enough. So then how can you surrender to this, so to speak?
So this is exactly the point why we should concentrate more on the economy, so that the people who are coming in can be taken care of and lose the fear that they are suffering from today.
Exactly.
Mother managed it in the ashram. Ashram is not only self-sufficient, it has a surplus. Today, they're offering milk to Auroville for free.
Oh.
So it is possible, it can be done. The only thing is, we have become a little more humble and earnest. We are here to serve. We are not here to take, but we are here to give. The more we give, the more we get.
Aura, the value we create together.